speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We're talking today about dangerous love affairs. Very often in this life, people fall in love with dangerous things. Husband and wives fall in love with someone else. As a result, homes are broken up, lives are ruined, souls are lost. For adulterers cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, Galatians 5, verse 19. And we need the reminder that's given in Hebrews 13, verse 4, that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And we've all read of people who are gun lovers who accidentally shoot themselves. Or maybe one of their small children shoots itself or shoots someone else. Guns are dangerous when they're not locked up and not in control. And there are many other kinds of love affairs that are extremely dangerous. First, many are lovers of darkness. In John 3, verse 19, we read, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." You know, darkness has always been a symbol of evil. When the Bastille, a castle-like prison in Paris, was about to be destroyed in 1789, a convict was brought out who had been confined in one of those gloomy cells for many years. Instead of joyfully welcoming his liberty, the man begged to be taken back into the darkness. It had been so long since he had seen the sunshine that his eyes could not stand the brightness. His only desire was to die in that murky, dark dungeon. And in the same way, some men continue to reject the Savior until they eventually become so hardened in their sin that they prefer the dark days of eternal ruin. Christians must send the light of the gospel into all the world, especially it's a world of darkness. And as we preach the gospel to those in darkness, we must never forget that Satan will seek to blind men. He will do all within his power to keep the gospel light from dispelling sin's horrible darkness. At 2 Corinthians, we learn that he's the God of this world, and he wants to blind the eyes of those who would receive the gospel of Christ. And those who answer the gospel call will come out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light, we learn in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. They will not love darkness anymore, but they will shun the works of darkness, and even abstain from the very appearance of evil. So those who love darkness now will get all the darkness they will ever want in hell. But you see, hell is a place described as the blackness of darkness, outer darkness, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And another kind of love affair is those who have a love for money. It's a very dangerous love affair. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, "The love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now that word coveted in 1 Timothy 6, 10 is a unique word that very few admit to being a part of their life. One Catholic priest over a large diocese who had heard thousands of confessions said that never one time had anyone confessed to being covetous. Now, covetousness says you have an opportunity to make some extra money. It may mean forsaking the assembly on Sunday, but you need the money, so one lays out of church to make more money. And man replies, "Yes, Master." And covetousness says, "You'll have to compromise your convictions, and you may have to be a shade dishonest in this business transaction, but that's the way it is in business. Everyone is doing it these days." And some men say, "Yes, Master." Covetousness says, "Living expenses are high. You deserve a nice vacation. You'll have to cut into your contribution to the church." But some men say, "Yes, Master." Solomon wrote, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. And there's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept by the owner thereof to their own hurt. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 13. So Christians are to be free from the love of money. We should be interested in laying up treasures in heaven, as our Lord instructed in Matthew 6, verse 19 through verse 21. And then a third dangerous love affair. Some have fallen in love with fame, or they've fallen in love with preeminence. And you know, even in the church, there are those who love to have the preeminence. You can read in 3 John verse 9 of one, his name was Diotrephes, who even turned some out of the church and wanted to have the preeminence. But fame is so deceptive. Fame is so fleeting. John Lennon, a member of the Beatles rock singing group, once said, "Christianity will go, it will vanish, it will shrink. I need not argue about that. I'm right, and I will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus Christ." Well, the Beatles have long since disbanded. John Lennon was assassinated, and Jesus Christ, like a towering mountain, Jesus looms throughout the earth, the slope reaching back to the creation and the beginning of time, and the near slope reaching toward the end of the ages. The eyes of those in days past look forward to him with prophetic gaze, and we in this generation look back to him with also a prophetic gaze. We look to him in the historical faith. He stands at the very center of history. Christians do not seek fame. They do not seek preeminence. Christ must have all preeminence, Colossians 1, verse 18. There are no chief elders, no chief preachers, no chief missionaries, or chief Christians among the people of God. If so, they have robbed Christ of his glory. They have robbed Christ of his honor. For Jesus taught, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be humbled. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Luke 14, verse 11. Christians gird themselves with humility. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And like Christ, they seek to be meek and lowly. We find in Matthew 11, in giving the invitation to all, Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So some have fallen in love with fame and preeminence. But there's another dangerous love affair, and that is when people fall in love with pleasure. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, the time would come in the last days when there would be those who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And don't you think we have such in our day? Seeking pleasure from the things of this world is so dangerous. Hearts become deadened by the weight of things that cannot feel. Hearts choked by the dust of things cannot speak the truth. Eyes blinded by the fog of things cannot seek the truth. And ears deafened by the din of things cannot hear the truth. And brains bewildered by the cunningness of things cannot think truth. And we're talking here about people who have hearts like the thorny ground. The truth of the gospel is actually choked out of them by cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So spake our Lord in Luke 8, verse 14. I'm told that a picture hangs in a London art gallery that is one of the most tragic pictures ever painted. It portrays the last rough slope of a mountain leading to the edge of a cliff, at the foot of which one catches a glimpse of a graveyard. A crowd of men and women, some in evening dress, some in the garb of work clothes, some in rags. They have packed the slope, all struggling for a foothold on the highest point. and they are tearing and treading upon one another. They're gazing upward where the beckoning, mocking figure of pleasure floats out of reach. And the picture is called The Pursuit of Pleasure. And on that grim, ghostly, sunless canvas, the artist has not painted one happy face, not a flicker of any gladness, nothing but fear and terror and hatred and selfishness and pain is seen in the faces of those that are painted. The picture tells the story of the world's pursuit of joy. Jesus tells us that joy is not found there. It's not found in things. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Yet the bumper sticker says, "The happy one is the one who has the most toys." Many people have been deceived by Satan. They think that they can find happiness, that they can find pleasure in the accumulation of worldly things. A fly landed on a nice strip of gooey, sweet-smelling flypaper. And quickly surveying the situation, not seeing the challenge in sight, he happily announced, "My flypaper." But sinking his nose into the syrupy stuff, he dined sumptuously. And then he snoozed in an after-dinner siesta. And afterward, thinking he would fly again, there was no way. Well, that's the way it is with man and his so-called pleasure-producing possessions. Man surveys his goods and he says, "My possessions, my things." And the things wink at each other and whisper, "Our man." Pleasure is dangerous because it deceives. And not only does it deceive, but we're told in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, that it can lead to spiritual death. And then last, among the dangerous love affairs, many fall in love with themselves. Sociologists call this narcissism. This word comes from Narcissus. He was a youth in Greek mythology who fell in love with his own image as he saw his image reflected in a pool of water. And as a result, he pined away and died. Even in mythology, self-love was dangerous. And remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray? The Pharisee, in love with himself, prayed, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You can read all the story in Luke 18, beginning with verse 11. Here was a man who was stuck on himself and struck on himself, and he is not alone. The Apostle Paul said in the last times men would be lovers of self, 2 Timothy 3:2. And he taught, "Let each esteem the other better than themselves," in Philippians 2, verse 2. Christians are not to please themselves, Romans 15:1. We're not to seek our own. Christ said that we are to deny self. And self-love can lead us away from the Lord. So, are you engaged in a dangerous love affair? Repent of that. Turn to the Lord in complete obedience. Surrender your life to Him and obey Him the gospel of Christ. Confess His sweet name. Be buried with Him in baptism, Mark 16:16. Have your sins washed away, and the Lord will add you to His church.